He said it's time you should know. You will learn as you grow. That some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم. أما بعد، قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، فمن تركها فقد هدم الدين. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Firstly, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. And we praise Allah Ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah Jalla Majdahu for making us from the Ummat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Salatu Wasallam. Alhamdulillah, thus far we have stressed upon the performance of Salah, and we have explained many virtues, secrets, philosophy of many actions of Salah itself. And today we start discussing about those who neglect Salah and those who do not perform Salah and those who discard Salah. We as Muslims must realize that Salat is the most important ibadat a Muslim can do to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Salat has got all other ibadat included in it, which we have explained in detail. Currently, when we see around the world, we find that many places Muslims are experiencing difficulty, and these difficulties are because of our amal, as stated in Quran Kareem. And the solution we think is in fighting, writing, striking. We think it is in weaponry, ammunition, military, and we think it is by force. However, if we in that particular area, wherever it be in the world, if we Muslims become regular in Salat with Jamaat, the enemy will fall down automatically. Because Salat is such a powerful weapon, and Salat, the enemies also know that when Muslims start making Salat regularly in Jamaat, in the Masjid, their hopes are dashed. Currently, anywhere in the world, unfortunately, there is no 100% Salat performers. In a troubled area or in any other area too, when we talk about Dawat towards Islam, invitation towards Islam, can you imagine that if in Fajr time we get a crowd like how we get in Juma time, that from every house people are walking out and going towards the Masjid. First of all, it will be absolutely safe and secure to come out of your house, because only Muslims will be walking around during that early part of the morning. And there will be enough, alhamdulillah, protection by interaction. And the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend tremendously upon everybody of that locality. Can you imagine if our Juma be like our Eid Salat? When Eid Salat, you will find that what a big quantity come for Eid Salat. Can you imagine the barakah, the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear and the awe that He will create in the hearts of the enemies of Islam? In any given troubled area, you will find, unfortunately, 5% are making salat, and maybe 7% are making salat with jamaat in the masjid. Then where can we expect the help of Allah, the support of Allah, the mercy of Allah? From where that will come? That is not going to come. Even in our own areas, you will be surprised to find that people are not making Juma Salat. Phone around, talk around, you'll find horrific results that people, even in the month of Ramadan, do not even fast. Muslims in the month of Ramadan, we know, this is apparent and visual, that Salat, daily Salat, regularity is not present. And Salat, Juma Salat, there are Muslims who profess that they are pious and righteous, but they don't make Salat with Jamaat. There are Muslims who profess they love Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they don't make Salat, Juma Salat, only Eid time they come away, or Janaza time they appear. So Salat performance is of vital importance. And we should encourage others to make salat, salat with jamaat in the masjid. That obviously applies to the males. And the more we perform salat with jamaat in the masjid, that whole locality will be saved from the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by making salat, we will be able to draw from the treasures and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is stated about the pious people that when they walked around, then human beings appeared to them in the shape of animals. That some of them appeared like donkeys, others like mules, others like horses, others like the birds of prey, others like lions and tigers, and others like cheetah and wolves. And it is also reported that some of them had to cover their faces when they came out of their houses because they could not bear to see these sights. And this is a reality. Why? Because they were able to see. Just like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he should make wuzu and someone made wuzu near him, he was able to, by looking at the water coming out of the limbs, dropping out from the limbs of the person, he was able to see, state what sin were falling. He was able to say that this person, obviously from his limbs and body, what sins were falling out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses some personalities with spiritual eyesight where they can see these things. And Shah Wali Ullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi in Hujjatullah Al-Baligha has discussed this to some detail, that the amal, the actions, actually take these forms. And on the day of judgment, these forms will be weighed. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also spoken about this, that for example, the person who precedes the imam, meaning before the imam went into ruku, that person already went into ruku. Before the imam went into sijda, that person went into sijda. Before the imam came out of sijda, that person comes out. And before the imam calls even to go for the second sijda, that person is already gone. And before the imam gives the salam, that person is giving the salam. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about such a person who precedes the Imam, because he defeats the whole concept of Imamate, why he must now follow the Imam. The Imam is there to be followed, and you have to go after him, not before him. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that this person who does such a heinous action, a transgressing, disobedient action, on the day of judgment, half his body will be in the shape of a donkey. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated that the amal of a person are given shapes of animals. And why these shapes of the cheetahs and the lions and the vultures and the donkey, etc.? Because all these animals have got qualities. There is one book called Hayatul Haywanat, where the Musannif, the author here, describes animals, then he describes their biological qualities, and extended to biological qualities, he describes the character and personality and behavior patterns of the animals. Someone should translate that. There is one abridged translation, but the abridged translation has actually done harm to the actual book, because they have left out too much of information in that abridged translation. Most important about the characters of these animals, that abridged translation has left out. The author explains every animal and then its qualities, good and bad qualities. Now, these qualities of the lion and the dog and the cheetah, etc., we know out of experience what are their qualities. Very briefly, we know that, not in detail. But the person, he behaves like this in the daytime, in the nighttime, he behaves like a lion. So the qualities of greed and cheating and deceiving, the quality of malice and jealousy and hatred, all the akhlaq-e razila, the bad qualities which are in the heart and in the person, all these evil qualities, they take shape, and people are able, pious are able to see that this person, although he is smiling, but his heart is like a lion, although he is laughing, but his heart is like a cheetah, although he is behaving well, but his heart is like a dog. Although he is doing things which look very cultured, but his character, personality, heart is like a pig. So, if a person, for example, says another that you are like a pig, then you will feel very upset. A person will feel very annoyed. But in reality, that those who behave like swines and pigs, their physical, in another dimension, looks like that. So those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, they are able to see people in these forms. So the persons who leave out salat, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the character and personality and behavior of people, and he says clearly in Quran al-Kareem that kal an'am, they are like cattle, balhum azal, but lower than that, meaning that because of their character and personality, they go worse than animals. Now, when a person leaves out the salat, so the ulama ikram write, they draw some comparisons. They say that a person can be like a donkey or a horse. And then they draw some parallels between the horse and the donkey. They say a horse is better because the job of a donkey is to bear loads, whilst that of the horse is to race and partake in battle. See, the horse is superior because it has got a more superior role. It races and then it participates in battle, in jihad. Why is the donkey? Donkey is just there to load anything on the donkey. Now, although the horse can carry loads, his perfection is greater than that of a donkey. If the horse cannot fight in battles and war and loses his courage, then from him would be taken the work of a donkey, that of carrying loads. So originally the horse was meant for racing, for jihad, and even today that we will find in so many countries that the military utilize the horses, the police force utilize the horses. Even in our country, and if you look around the world, you'll find that daily, hourly, they are utilizing horses for warfare, they use horses for racing, they use horses for police activity, they use horses to control crowds, and all that is happening. But if the horse now, it forgets or it loses its quality of battle and warfare and protection and defense, and it loses courage, then that horse brings its own status down and becomes like a donkey carrying books or carrying loads or carrying stones or carrying bricks. Now, that status of the horse has become like the donkey, because the work of the donkey, now the horse is going to do. Now, in the same manner, some people believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created men to eat and drink and sleep and follow their sensual desires, to collect material things and enjoy the life of the world. This attitude has caused man to deviate from his innate capacity, inside capacity for nobility, piousness, and from his bondage and duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us for, and what we are doing, is two different things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, as stated in the Quran al-Kareem, that to worship him, لِتَعْرَفُوا, to understand him, to come to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for his ibadat. That means, and the afzalul ibadat, the best of ibadat, is salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why he's made salat 5 times a day compulsory for us. Not like Hajj once in a lifetime, or fasting once in a year, or giving out of zakat. But salat, because of its superiority and its importance and significance, Allah has given us this formula so that we can fulfill what we have been created for. But what we are busy doing? We are busy merrymaking, eating and drinking and sleeping and following the sensual desires and following the carnal desires. If you look all around us, what is there? You see that cinema, television, disco, dancing, casino, gambling, horse racing, so-called pleasures. And if you look around us, what you see, day in and day out, we are sweating and perspiring for the world, for materialistic gain. And our education, the secular education, is designed also that, to create man so that he becomes a slave to the materialistic world. But in an Islamic environment, where we will be allowed to think like Muslims, then we'll focus on the akhirat. We'll focus on performing salat, reading Quran, listening to Quran. We'll be able to make zikr of Allah, read Darud Sharif, and listen to good and say good, enjoy what is good and forbid what is evil. Everything will be directed towards the pleasure and gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now all our energy and effort is to build the world and run after the world and make money upon money and materialistically inclined. Bigger weddings, bigger sin, music is being promoted and music is being legalized and music is being played, all that in the name of Islam. that is worse than even saying that, listen, music is haram. But one is now trying to legalize the music. Like one is saying interest is haram, and now to legalize the haram interest. That is worse. And one is like saying dancing and all that is haram, but now someone also legalize it. We find in this world the predictions of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming true, that people will call wine by another name and try to legalize it. And people will wear silk and try to legalize it and say, no, it is permissible to wear it. So we can see that we are going towards the evil times. People want to legalize interest, hold it, call it by the name of dividend and legalize it. People want to legalize and say, no, beer and alcohol is permissible as long as it does not make you drunk. People want to legalize music and they say, no, certain types of music are permissible. And no, that certain awliya ikram, they listen to music. But look at those who were around that time, the fuqaha, what they said, that these who were listening to the music, they were sinners and innovators. So we should be very careful what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for and where we are going. Now the outcome of such a man's behavior will be the same as that of the horse who did not guard his inner purpose, and the status of a donkey will occur to him. The horse did not behave properly or did not deliver. So the horse lost its status and became like a donkey. In the same manner, although his external manifestation is that of a human being, on the day of judgment, the secret will be revealed. Since on this day, the hidden aspects of man will become manifest, and it become manifest like that of an animal. In this world here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been and is very merciful to us. Otherwise, honestly, every other person will be walking around with the shape of an animal. But just like the horse has lost his status and become like a donkey, that on the day of judgment, when there'll be no secrets, there'll be no hidden, and there'll be no bribery and corruption, and there'll be no such thing, because I've got money and now people will have to greet me, and because I've got money and I've become trustee of masjid, and because I've got money I will allow my son who is a fasik and a fajir to make the salat and the tarawih salat, and because I've got money people are giving me the status of so-called nobility, and because of my contact and money and evil that people have to salute me. No, on that day everybody will be on the equal footing. Iman and amal as saliha, iman and righteous actions and good actions and pious actions will be automatically coming to the fore. Then the truth will come out, and who was like an animal and who was like which animal, and who will be like a donkey or a mule or like a dog or a swine or a pig, or who is like a lion and a cheetah. All that will come out on the day of judgment, the day of resurrection. So we should realize something, that those who love greed and carnal desires, and they, because of accumulation of goods, they do not want to make salat, then on the day of judgment, that person is going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be like a swine or a pig. Allah save us from this. And those who kept themselves busy in indulging, killing, accumulating, their form will be like of a pig, a donkey, or a dog. Because these are the qualities of those animals. And those who are doing all this, they are fighting for wealth and killing for wealth and accumulating via illegal and haram sources just to be to live in ease and comfort, and living off the other man's money, although people owe others, still they live in luxury. So can you imagine on the day of judgment what is going to happen with such people? We have to constantly seek forgiveness from this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge. We can only become noble and pious if we perform the five salah regularly, constantly, with jamaat in the masjid. And if you are not able to go to the masjid, make and start performing the five type salat. Because namaz is the clothing of perfection and nobility. And every person wants this. Every person wants to become pious. Every person wants to become noble. And remember, nobility and perfection is not in beauty or in looks or in appearance. Nobility and perfection is not in wealth and the area I am staying in, or the car that I am driving, or the mansion that I am in. Nobility is not in power and position and kursi and the chair. Nobility is not that everybody is saluting me because of my evil. But nobility and perfection is that when a person is regular in salat in jamaat, in masjid, that person, he can be an ugly person, not handsome person, poor person, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a noble person, that is the perfect person. So nobility in the eyes of Allah is different, and in the eyes of human being is different. Dignity and honor in the eyes of Allah is different, and in the eyes of man is different. And perfection in the eyes of man is different, and perfection in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. And we are here to please Allah and not the creation. We are here to please the creator, not the creation. We are here so that the object that we get, a heart that is illuminating and full of light, celestial light, we can get that from salah, performance of salah. Whereas the person who is wealthy and is steeped in sin, he cannot get the light of the iman in the heart. He cannot get pleasure, and he cannot get joy and happiness and comfort, which the person who externally you look at him, this person here has got no money. He's not living in a luxury area. He hasn't got a mansion, or he hasn't got a luxury fancy car. But the person has got inner contentment, and he's got joy, and he's got delight in his heart. Why? He's regular in salat, and making salat how salat supposed to be made, and he's making namaz how namaz supposed to be made, and he's enjoying communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salat will differentiate not only on the day of judgment, but salat will differentiate people on the surface of the earth. And any person, as soon as he becomes a Muslim, has to learn about salat, because the very next thing, the next hours or so, the next faraz that he has to do will be salat. And we as Muslims who are born Muslims, we should be now have full idea of how salat is made, when salat is made, why salat is made. And rather said that if you just have to look at how we are making salat, just the external, it is absolutely horrifying and pathetic. People spend so much of time coming to the masjid, but what they come to the masjid poorly dressed, badly attired, and then they just come and knock around on the floor and go away. Whereas we should be making our salat with perfection. That is why the word is being used, that ikamu salat, that establish the salat. Why establish the salat? Because you have to make the salat with all its prerequisites before the salah. And then the with the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunnah, and so that a person, if he wants to know about how to concentrate in salat, he just have to worry about the external. He'll start concentrating properly. Inshallah, after the break, I will continue.
रेडियो अलंसार के सुनने वालों के लिए एक खुशखबरी, फिर से एक बार आपका महबूब प्रोग्राम सनाए मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम रेडियो अलंसार से नशर किया जाएगा। नाते नबी मुस्तफा सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम से भरपूर ये प्रोग्राम हज़रत मामून इब्न महमूद पेश करेंगे, जिसमें हर हफ्ता मकामी और बाहर के नातख्वां हिस्सा लेंगे। जरूर सुनिए बादे सलात मगरिब रेडियो अलंसार पे।
हम भी देखेंगे किसी दिन।
Are you intending on going for Hajj this year? Did you know that the Sahuk Hajj registration opens on Wednesday, 23rd March at 12 noon? If you require any assistance with registration, feel free to contact Shah Mithas Travel on 031-207-6987 or email your details to info@mithastravel.co.za. Shah Mithas Travel for unmatched quality Hajj and Umrah services.
Silver, gold, pearl, emerald, diamond, platinum sounds precious to you?
These are only the most precious advertising slots on Radio Al Ansar. Choose the most appropriate time slot for your business. We at Al Ansar have created affordable packages to suit your budget, reaching a listenership of over 100,000 people in and around the KZN region and beyond, ensuring that your business achieves maximum exposure. Advertise with Radio Al Ansar today by calling 031-208-1601 to speak to one of our advertising reps. That's 031-208-1601. Call now and make your selection on what package suits you. Radio Al Ansar, putting your business forward.
Radio Al Ansar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To continue, we are discussing about those who neglect the Salah and the importance of Salah in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad Hanbal Rahmatullah Alayh. It is narrated that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whosoever does not safeguard the times of Salah will have no assistance on the Day of Judgment, nor will they have a qualification to rely upon. And that person who neglects the Salat, he will be lying in utter darkness. Then like Karun, or Firaun, or Haman, or Ubay bin Khalaf, he will be admitted to hell as a hypocrite. So can you imagine that the person who does not make Salat, person who discards Salat, a person who leaves Salat, a person who is not particular about the Salat time, then so much of azab, punishment is already there. And on the Day of Judgment, that person will have no aid, no support, and that person will have no helper. Forget, let alone the Day of Judgment, that on the when a person goes to the grave, the hadith is very clear that his amal will come to protect him. And various amal will go to the head side, to the face, and to the feet side, and to the sides. Performance of Salat will serve as a shield, and recitation of Quran will serve as a shield. Now, that person in the grave who has not performed Salat and is neglectful of the Salat, then who is going to protect him? What is going to protect him? What amal is going to be there to protect that person in the grave on the Day of Judgment? Because that person never makes Salah, then he'll have no assistance on that day. And on that day, every person will be wanting someone to help him, the person would be running. It is stated on the day of judgment, people would be running hither to this, thither, and on the other hand, the father will be running from the son, and the son from the father, and the mother will be running away from the daughter, and the daughter from the mother, and the son will be running from his own brother, from brother, etc. Why? Least they ask him to give them their good actions. But a person who has made no salat, he will have no assistance on the day of judgment. And he'll have no qualification, nothing to rely on. If a person, when he's going to look for an avenue of work in this worldly life, he has to have some qualification, or he'll have to have some profession or trade, or he'll have to have some quality in order to get the job. But if you've got no quality, no personality, no trade, no profession, no abilities, no capacities to work, how is he going to get the job? On the day of judgment, if a person made no salat, because salat will be, according to one narration, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be presented to him, he will ask, what gift have you brought for me? And the gift will be salat. If a person was regular in salat and performed the salat well, then he'll be able to present the salat as a gift. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not wanting of a gift. He is independent, he is as-samad. But this is a gift, because that gift of salat brought us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave us the pleasure. And then that person who does not make the salat, discards the salat, is lackadaisical about the salat, is lazy, does not want to make the salat, then that person will be lying in darkness. Now can you imagine on that day, which is so horrific, on that day to have no light around us and to have ourselves immersed in darkness, that will be an azab on its own. Then like Qarun and Firaun and Haman, Ubay bin Khalaf, the persons who discarded the salat, who did not make the salat, and who were lazy, did not make the salat, they will be cast into Jahannam like hypocrites. Now there are four. Why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why he mentioned Qarun and Firaun and Haman and Ubay bin Khalaf? There are four methods of amassing and accumulating and getting wealth, and these are for being a sovereign, a leader, a head of state, where everything in the land belongs to you, political authority, that is. From labor, slavery, contract, or virasat, administration, agriculture, and commerce. Now, if you look at these four, Firaun and Haman and Qarun and Ubay bin Khalaf, these qualities are found in them. And because of these qualities, you'll find people who've got these qualities, generally they amass wealth. And also because of the activities around these qualities, they neglect salah, and they think they don't require salah, because all of them, they have got some form and some sort of wealth. And when they have got wealth, then the other idea comes in their brain, that this wealth I got, it is because of my own doing. Unfortunately, this is also coming to us also. You'll find, sadly, Muslims boasting of their wealth. And when you tell them to give charity, they're not even prepared to give their zakat properly. And when you tell them to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their hands are tied around the neck, and they are pressing their neck, and they do not want to put their hands into their pockets and give money out for needy, worthy causes. But when you ask them, you will say, they will tell you, see, this is my money, and this is my wealth, and this is my building, and this is my car, and this is my mansion, and this is my property, and this, all this, they will say, is because of my effort. and my education and my talent and my manipulation and my business acumen has got me to where I am today. And this, he will never link it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you hear this on daily basis, you hear this. Unfortunately, Muslims say this, that, you see, I am a wealthy man. Why I am a wealthy man? Because of my talent. And you see, I've got a luxury car. Why? Because of my talent and my effort and my sacrifice. And why I'm living in a so-called posh area with a mansion? This is my talent, my business acumen. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not feature in the equation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, is removed from the equation. And then you will find them inevitably that they discard the salat. And if they go to make the salat, they go there to boast their wealth. Just like what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, Karun and Firaun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf, these people, historians write about them, they amassed so much of wealth that it is stated about Karun that so much keys of his treasures that they had to have donkey loads just to load the keys, let alone the treasurers. And he claimed clearly that this was because of his own effort and his own talent, just like what we are doing today. Firaun was the person who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, that I am the big Rabb. I am the mighty Rabb. So he, because of political power, he became drunk. And as a result, let alone making salat, he got people to prostrate before him. And he claimed that he is the one worthy to be made prostration towards. And if you look at the Haman also, that he was a person contracting laborers and out of that amassed wealth. And he was like a slave master driving human beings to the utmost. And he forgot that human beings were human beings and made them like animals. Why? Because a drunk, he wanted power, money, wealth, and position, authority. All these same things are today in our systems. You'll find people and you'll meet people claiming they are Muslims but who are drunk for authority. They want political power, they want economical power, and they are maneuvering, manipulating, cheating, deceiving, robbing. These words are not applicable 50 years ago. It's all applicable now to white collar crime, professionally stealing. So methods have changed, but the greed in the heart and the deceit in the heart is still the same. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 300 years ago, they were physically robbing people, stabbing and looting and killing and maiming people for wealth and amassing wealth. Today it is done professionally. Today it is done in a clandestine way. But still, the heart of a person who was stealing and murdering and looting 300-400 years ago, and the heart of a person today filled with evil, their hearts were then, and filled with evil our hearts today. So these people, because of their neglect and love for wealth, and because they hankered after the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the hadith, will push them, will admit them, and they will be flung into hell like hypocrites. It is stated in Majalis Sunniya that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was standing on the shore of the sea when his eye fell upon a brilliant white animal who soiled himself with the mud of the beach by rolling in it and bathing in it. His skin became very dirty. Then that animal bathed in the sea and became white again. He repeated this on 5 occasions, at which Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was surprised at this behavior. And then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was informed by Jibreel alayhi salam that this animal represents the salat of the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he sees this white animal on the shore, and obviously white and brilliant, bright, and this animal soils itself and then bathes and becomes clean, and this is done 5 times. And Jibreel alayhi salam then informs Isa alayhi salam that this is the system, this is the salah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This animal represents the salah of the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the mud represents the sins of the nation, whilst the sea denotes the salah. When that animal goes into the mud, it is like a person who commits sins that blacken him. While praying salah renders him clean. The ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam will also sin on one hand, but will have a means of redress in the salah. All their sins will be washed away clean by the salah. This very beautiful example, and how it is, because we as Muslims daily, because we are going in the bazaar, or now a person need not only contact people via going to the bazaar or the marketplace, but in the houses itself, cinema, television, telephone, cell phone. So whilst a person is in the house, all contact is made to the outside world via the internet and Facebook and Twitter. Everything, the person can be seated in a room but can be an extremely evil sinner without even coming out of the house, without even moving out of the boundaries of that one room, let alone the whole house, just by modern technology, by the phone and the cell phone and the internet and Facebook and Twitter and television and cinema. That person sitting alone in one room, not even going to the bazaar, not even going to the urban area, not even going to the developed area, not even going to the park, not even going outside the house, that person secluded in a room can be the worst sinner in the locality. So can you imagine that when the person goes out, how much sin, potentiality of sin there is outside? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Muslims the cure for it, and the purging agent for it, and the cleansing agent for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are human beings, and we are murakkab min al-khata wa al-nisyan, that we are comprised of khata, mistake and error and blunder, and nisyan, forgetfulness. So when we go out, all these things in a bazaar, in a mall, in everything, a man, he is prone to hear the wrong thing, look at the wrong thing, interact and exchange wrong views and ideologies. All that can happen, cheating and deceiving and lying, all that can happen. But these are all things are like on that white horse. When he goes into the mud, it blackens that white horse. So a Muslim is like that. His heart is white and shining and bright and clean. When he goes out, all the sins now go on to that white heart, that bright heart, that mirror heart, and that clean heart. So when the person goes out and mixes and interacts with people, just by going into one small function, you will come to realize how much of sin and evil and transgression and disobedience is perpetrated there, and that affects the person, affects the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because this is happening not monthly, but is happening not even daily, but hourly. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us salat. That between the salat, whatever sins fell upon the heart, and whatever evil fell upon the heart, and whatever blackness fell upon the heart, and obviously it tainted the heart. It made that heart rusty and dirty and filthy, and it made that heart black. So the person now will go for salat. And for example, whatever happened between Fajr and Zuhr, and his heart was affected and got blackness and dirty and soiled, now the person will proceed for Zuhr. And Hadith states clearly that the person, when he starts making wuzu, then the sins start falling from all the limbs and parts of the body to such an extent. It is written, if you go to my website alislam.co.za, there is a book called Virtues of Wuzu, and it, the hadiths are presented there. It is stated in one hadith that even the sins under the nails fall off. This all refers to minor sins. So can you imagine, before even going for salah, because al-wuzu miftahul salat, as-salat miftahul jannah, that wuzu is a key to salat, and salat is a key to jannah. So all the minuses begin to fall off, and then the person now engages in salat, and it is stated in one hadith, meaning that a person's sins fall out like how the leaves fall off during the spring season. And another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by way of example and similarity, stated, if a person has got a stream outside his house and he bathes in it 5 times a day, will that person be clean or dirty? So obviously that person is going to be clean. Similarly, that just like that white horse was soiled in the water or in the mud and then cleaned itself in the ocean water, similarly the person who makes his salat regularly, properly, carefully in the jamaat, in the masjid, he will have his sins cleaned, his heart will shine bright, and this person will gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine, on the other hand, if a person doesn't make salat, if a person discards salat, if a person is neglectful of salat, if a person makes salat now and then the heart will become dark and black and evil, and the heart and the person will be in spiritual filth, and the person will not be clean. One person can say, no, that now if he goes once a while to salat, then all his sins will come out. We say, yes, sins will come out. But this person has got so much of sin that he has to do it very, very regular for all the sins to come out. A person who is cleaning clothing, and when you look at the dhobi, the washerman of India, you know this example which I'm talking about. When the clothing is not dirty, then he does not have to strike it on the water, on the rock and the stone, and he does not have to put so much soap on it. He assesses the cloth, he knows, okay, this cloth here is not so dirty, so he does not bang it and strike it viciously on the rock, and he applies less water and less soap on it. Contrary to that, if the garment is filthy and dirty and soiled, he has to strike it more, and he has to rub it more, he has to scrub it more, he has to put more water on it, he has to put more soap on it, until that he is satisfied. And he'll be satisfied if he has to raise the garment higher and strike it, and the dirtier the garment, the stronger the blow on it, and the more vicious rubbing and scrubbing, whilst the garment that is not dirty, there'll be very light activity on it. So similarly, the person who he is not regular That is why he has to make now qaza. Why? Because he has got lot of sins to go take out, and he has to now recompensate it. He has to put more soap and more water and more striking, so that his being becomes clean and pure and purged from sin and transgression and disobedience. So Allah is so merciful to us that He allows us at these periods, the sins that we perpetrate between the Fajr and Zuhr time, we go for clean up. Now we go for valet, we go for purging, we go for cleansing, we go for spiritual upliftment. Then between Zuhr and Asr, because generally most of business activity and most of interaction and most of dealing and wheeling, buying and selling, is taking place between Zuhr and Asr. And most interaction with the world is taken between Zuhr and Asr. So that short time, that's why you go back and now make Asr Salat, once again crying before Allah, prostrating before Allah, going to ruku before Allah, pleasing Allah, so that all the sin that was accumulated between Zuhr and Asr is removed during Asr time, and it is taken out during Asr time, and a person again now is given vitality, freshness. He can go back now and transact and wheel a deal. And in many countries of the world, that after Asr also, after Maghrib also, that there is a lot of trading and transaction and dealing and interaction with the world. So a person, the sins that he commits between Asr and Maghrib, is allowed at Maghrib time, take another bath, take another spiritual bath, cleanse yourself again, prepare yourself again, and also do not let sin overcrowd the heart. Do not let your heart become black, that it can't now become clean again. So again, by performing the Maghrib, now after the Maghrib, the person generally, he will go back home, and because of interaction now with the house difficulties and domestic difficulties, and also, as I told you, that sin has now entered the homes, and sin is perpetrated from the residence area, and sin is being done from even small rooms. Because of the technological advancement, the sin has come right into the house. Now that person has to go for Isha, so that the sins perpetrated and done, enacted between Maghrib and Isha, that person can have a chance again to purge himself and clean himself. That is why it is stated in Hadith that after Isha Salat, people are divided into three categories. And the best one is that after Isha, who does not engage in much but rest, so that the person can get up for Fajr Salat and make it Wujh Jamaat. That is why the Hadith is stressing that if a person makes the Isha, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, who states a person who makes Isha Salat with Jamaat is like a person who has made half, who has stood half the night in Ibadat. And the person who makes the Fajr Salat with Jamaat is like a person who has stood another half in Ibadat. Therefore, the person who makes the Isha Salat with Jamaat and Fajr Salat with Jamaat is like a person who has stood the entire night in the Ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this we can imagine and gauge the importance of Salat and the importance of the Salat with Jamaat. Our responsibility, those females who are listening, they must be very regular in Salat, and encourage their children to be regular in Salat, and also tell their husbands they have to make Salat with Jamaat in the masjid. The responsibility of those females at home is that, let alone they become regular in Salat, a greater responsibility is to tell their husbands and encourage their husbands and encourage their sons that they go to the masjid and take out their qualities of laziness and neglect from them and make them the regular performers of Salat, because once that happens, automatically the house itself will benefit. The house will be now a place where those who have made Salat getting so much of mercy and barakah would come into the house, and they will bring barakah and mercy and grace of Allah in the house. And can you imagine that house where people going out for Salat with Jamaat in the masjid and coming back, they bringing spirituality, spiritual elevation, celestial light, nuraniyat, barakat into the house. So they should be encouraged to go and make their Salat. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability not to be neglectful of our Salat, be regular in our Salat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.